Well, good morning. Excited to be here with you guys this morning. We are in a four-week series where we have been, will be, and are studying creation. I'm excited that you guys have been a part of this series. If you have not been here for the entire series, I would encourage you to go listen to the podcast, as this has been a series where we have been building off of each other, and we're coming off of a week that I think is probably one of the most important weeks that we could hear. And that was last week of talking through who are we as humanity and how were we crafted. But I'm excited that this has been a series where we get to study creation. The Bible gives an answer to one of life's biggest questions. One of life's biggest questions that we all ask at one point or another is, how do we get here and who are we? How did we get here? How did the earth get here? How did the universe get here? Was it on accident? Was it intentional? Did God design it? Did somebody else design it? Did nobody design it? And then we ask the question of, who are we? Who are we? So before I jump into this morning, I want us to dive in a little bit to just a review of the series. And I encourage you to continue to engage this series, whatever that might look like for you. If it's taking notes in your bulletin, if it's highlighting in the Bible, if it's re-listening to the podcast, I want you to engage. And one of the ways that I hope you're engaging is just through small groups. If you're not here on Wednesday nights, man, I would encourage you, come on Wednesday nights. Because on Sundays, you get to hear me talk. On Wednesdays, you get to talk. And I've heard that the discussions so far this series have been awesome. And so I want to encourage you to use this morning as a way to prepare for small groups on Wednesday night. Okay, before we jump in to week number four, we're getting to the end of this series. I want to just do a quick review, two things of where we've been so far. One is we have been spending the last 4 weeks basically in Genesis chapter 1. So open your Bible up to Genesis chapter 1. And if you haven't been kind of following along with us, I'd encourage you to continue reading Genesis chapter 1. And I think one really great way to sum up where we've come so far is that Genesis chapter 1 is true. It's true. The Genesis chapter 1 isn't just a story or an answer, but it's an answer that's true. In Genesis chapter 1, we walked through the 6 days of creation. We broke it down. We started to understand that God is a craftsman. God is an artist. That he takes things, colors, utensils, canvases, and he makes them beautiful. That God sat over the deep. He sat over the waters and the darkness. His spirit hovered over creation before it was what it is now. And God painted the most beautiful masterpiece. And he continues to create. We learned two of the biggest arguments that support creation, and the teleological argument, or the fine-tuning argument, and the cosmological argument of not just recognizing what Genesis 1 is saying, but as Christians in this room, most of us who've heard this story probably 100 times, to then sit and say, okay, we've heard the story. I know the story. I could recite the story. I understand the story. But do I believe the story? Do I actually believe that there is a God who's always existed, who has no beginning and no end, that he actually sat and by the words of his mouth started to create a masterpiece? Do I actually believe that this being who always is and always will be and always has been started to create the oceans, started to create the sun, the moon, the stars, that he's the one that put the stars in their place, that he's the one that created vegetation and fruit that continues to create seeds to create more fruit, that he created humanity, that he created animals? Do we actually believe that? And my hope is that as we got through the first 2 weeks, that we came to this realization of, yeah, Genesis 1 is true. It's not just a story that we've grown up hearing or some of us are hearing for the first time, but it's true. And then inside of its truth, what in the world does that mean? Well, one of the things that it means for us is that we have tremendous value, worth, and dignity. It doesn't matter what choices you've made, good or bad. It doesn't matter what things have been done to you. Maybe you've been put in a situation where someone has sexually assaulted you in your background. Maybe you've grown up in an abusive home. Maybe you were in a relationship where somebody cheated on you. Maybe you've been in a friendship that just backstabbed you. Who knows? But that we as people, each one of you, has tremendous value, worth, and dignity. And the reason why we do is because we were created by the master artist. We were created by the master craftsman. We were created by the same God that put the stars in their place. The song Creator that you guys wrote this year as a worship team, there's no better song, I think, that kind of wraps up parts of the series. The God that put the stars in the sky, he also created us. And because he created us, we have worth, we have value, and we have dignity. It's not our past or our presence or our choices that give us value, worth, or dignity. And I think it's so important for you guys to hear that, for me to hear that. And when we get this, our life changes. When we realize that our identity is a son or daughter of God, things change. Why? Well, because we stop living for what teachers think about us. We stop making choices on social groups. We stop doing things just based off of what is solely pleasing to mom and dad, what our boyfriend or girlfriend wants us to do, what a relationship might look like. And we start to live for the Creator. We start to live knowing that I have value. It doesn't matter what happened to me 5, 10, 15 years ago. It doesn't matter the really bad choice that I made last week. It doesn't matter that my coach tells me I'm the worst athlete in the world. It doesn't matter if my teacher tells me I'm going to Harvard and I'm smart and nobody will ever be smarter than me. It doesn't matter if I have $1 million in my bank account or if we have negative 100. It doesn't matter. I am made in the image and likeness of God. That as humans, we're made with value, worth, and dignity. And oftentimes, we need to be reminded of that for ourselves, but then we need to look around us too and be reminded that the homeless man who sits on the corner of PCH and Jamboree has the same value, worth, and dignity that we do. That the person who has $1 billion, that the person who has negative $1 billion, that not only do we have this value, worth, and dignity, but that all humanity does as well. Oh, I hope that that sinks in or is starting to sink in for so many of us. We live for a party of one. And we live for someone who knows us better than anyone else. And why? Why does he know us better than anyone else? Because he designed us. He's the intelligent designer. Nobody knows the iPhone better than the people behind it. Nobody knows the airplane better than the engineers that built it. Nobody knows the spaceships better than the people who put them together. God knows us. And that's why we get to sit with him and argue with him, question him, be grateful to him. You look through the Psalms and the Proverbs and you look through the book of Job and the whole Bible and people are going to God the Creator with their joys and their frustrations. They're going back to the person that made them to say, I don't get this. I'm frustrated. Why did you put me into a family like this? Why did you make me look this way? Why did you give me this gift? Why didn't you give me this gift? God, thank you for giving me this. Lord, thank you for this. Whatever it might look like, good, positive, neutral. We get to do that to the one who created us. Oh, I hope we start grasping that. What a powerful thing. When I was in college and high school and started realizing a little bit more of where my identity lied, the security that it brought me raised so much. Parties weren't as big of a temptation anymore because who cared if they didn't want me there? Who cared if they laughed at me? I'm not living for them. I'm living for God. Oh, man, the freedom that comes with that. Hey, let's pray this morning as we jump in to week number 4. As we continue down this path of humanity, I want to break down the creation of humanity a little bit more this week. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, thank you, thank you, thank you that we can come and study your creation. Lord, would we each, as we jump into this morning and talk about the role of humanity, God, would we first be reminded of who we are? God, there's so many of us in this room, me included, that right now doesn't feel like we have worth. We're making decisions, or decisions have been made that were out of our control. Things have happened to us that were out of our control, that we sit here and we think, I'm not worthy. I don't have dignity. I don't have value. Oh, Lord, I pray that for those of us in this room that need to be reminded of that this morning, that you would just invade our spirits right now. And God, for those of us who maybe have wrestled with this but are in a spot currently where we know who we are, God, thank you for giving us that identity. Oh, be with us this morning as we dive in more. In your name, amen. Hey, take out your bulletins. Open your Bible to Genesis 1 if you're not there yet. Grab your pen, grab your highlighter. Let's engage this morning as we jump in to week number 4. What is humanity's role? We know how we were created, but now I want us to understand what we were created for. What's our role? What does our Creator expect from us? So we get that we were made in His image with His likeness, and because of that, we have worth and value and dignity. But now what? Now what do we do? What's the role? You create an iPhone, and it's got all these amazing capabilities, but now what's its role? Well, its role is to keep me on time. Its role is to text message people. Its role is to take really pretty photos of people. Its role is to keep my calendar. Its role is to get 200 likes on all my Instagram photos. So God created us. God's the designer behind us. But now what? Well, we're going to sit in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31 again. This is the same passage that we were in last week. But last week, we looked at it through the lens of how did He craft us? Well, He crafted us in His image and in His likeness. This week, I want to look through it with another lens in the parts of it that help us understand now what are we supposed to do? Great, I have value. Great, I have worth. Great, I have dignity. Awesome, the guy who made the most beautiful creation of all time that continues to create, who made me like Him. Awesome, what does that mean? That's what I want to talk about this morning. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, or 26 through 31. Remember, the first part, 1 through 25, explain to us how He did it. 6 days, 6 steps, added land, sea. He organized, He added, He created, all that sort of stuff. So now we get to humanity. This happens the second part of day 6. God saves us to the very last. God adds us in on the edge of that cliff with Adam and Eve holding hands, very last. Why? Because we're different. We're different. We communicate with God different than animals and plants do. We were made to think more intelligently. We are made to love deeper. He saves us to the end because we're separate. We are completely different than the rest of creation. We're different than the sun, moon, and stars. He created us different. He created us in His image and to be like Him. So let's read this passage, these passages together again this morning, and then we're going to break them apart again. Okay, starting in verse 26. Follow along with me in your Bibles. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In His image, God created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food, and it was so." God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And that ends Genesis chapter 1. Okay, so let's go back. Let's now look at this, and let's start to understand what our role in God's intelligent design is. His design was intentional. We can't argue that. When we go back and we look at how He designed things with the exact specifics of how far the sun is away and all these incredible things, It's why we're calling the series The Intelligent Design, because we have an intelligent designer, an intentional designer. So great. Now, what's our role in God's intelligent design? Do we have a role? Well, I want us to examine these verses, and I want us to uncover some of the primary roles that we see God give us. Now, we're going to jump to some other spots throughout the Bible again today, too, because the Bible as a whole has a lot to say about this, but I want to predominantly just stay in this passage, but we will jump a couple other places. So what do we see in this passage? Well, go to verse 28 first, and if you're following along with us in your bulletins this morning, which I encourage you to, here's the first point this morning. Our role in God's intelligent design is to rule. We see that right away in verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Okay, let's not miss these four points this morning. The first one, our role in God's intelligent design is to rule. So what does it mean to rule? Well, there's a couple different ways to look at this, right? One, to steward something, to be a good care, like to be a good steward of something means that if I gave you $100, that you would use it for the right things, not the wrong things. That if I put you in charge of babysitting my daughter Lucy, that you would take care of her rather than just feeding her candy the whole time and putting her in front of a TV show and then you leave the house and say, "Oh, you're good," right? That wouldn't be stewarding or ruling over her well. So right away, God says, okay, you've got the birds, you've got the sea, you've got the creation that I made. I painted this picture. I'm continuing to paint this picture. Creation continues to create. God is continuing to create. He created all things to create. What's one of the first things he says here in verse 28? Go be fruitful and multiply. This is where we get the passage during the sex series of where sex is good. God invented sex. It was from the very beginning. Hey, I want you to reproduce. I want you to continue to create. And now this creation, the humans, the vegetation, everything that is here, now your role is to rule over it. Okay, that seems high level. That seems kind of vague. So let's think about this another way. Okay, so then how do we rule? Like, what does that look like, and what do we rule over, and how do we do it? Well, who is one of the greatest examples in Scripture that we can use as a role model that maybe can help us get an example of how to rule? What would his name be? His name would be Jesus, right? So what I want us to do is I want us to look at Jesus. I want us to look at Jesus and say, let's rule like Jesus. Why did Jesus come down? Well, one, he came down to be the perfect sacrifice to die on the cross for our sins because God created us perfect. But yet sin entered the world. It's another part for another day that most of us know that part of the story. But then Jesus came down to give us an example. If you want to be the best basketball player in the world, what do? You study the best basketball players in the world. If you want to be the greatest surfer, you emulate the greatest surfers. If you want to be the greatest gymnast, the greatest mathematician, the greatest leader, what do? You look at those who have done it well, and then you do it like them. Jesus was set on the earth to be an example for us, to say, hey, I get this life is hard. I get that living in the identity that we have value, worth, and dignity is really hard to do. I get that stewarding and ruling is really hard to do. So let me come down and let me help you. Let me be an example for you. Let me be the Michael Jordan, the Tim Tebow, the whatever it is to help you understand this. And I want you to see here that we're not looking back at Jesus just for this example of how to rule. But in our lives, we should look to Jesus for all of our questions. How do I treat my parents? Let's look at how Jesus treated his parents. How did Jesus treat the marginalized? Let's look at how he treated the marginalized. How should I treat my teachers? How did Jesus teach people, treat people? That we should be looking at Jesus. rule like Jesus. He came to show us this. I think of Galatians chapter 5. You don't need to turn there, but Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus embodies all these characteristics that we are called to rule like him. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want us to be a little bit interactive this morning. So I want you to find a neighbor, or no more than three of you, okay? So identify who those people are right now. Groups of twos or threes next to you. You don't need to move around necessarily. Here's what I want you to do. I want you in that group to classify three things. Jesus ruled with what? You can go back to the scriptures. You can go to what you know about stories of Jesus. How did he rule? How can we go to Jesus and use him as an example to say, okay, if one of the reasons that we are created is to rule, then how might we do that? Okay, so spend about a minute in your groups, and I want you to discuss Jesus ruled with what, and what. You can go to the scriptures. You can go to your memory, however you want. Once you have them, write them down on your bulletin. Fill in those three blanks. All right, get three down there. I'm going to give you another 20 seconds. Write these down in your bulletin. I left some fill in the blanks for you. Jesus ruled with blank, blank, and blank. What are three things? When you study the life of Jesus, how did he rule? All right, I want to hear a couple. If you're brave enough to share, if not, I'll just start calling on you. But how did he rule? Yeah.
Humility, mercy, and love.
Humility, mercy, and love. Yeah. What else? How else did he rule? Yes, Eli.
With truth.
With truth. Yeah. He ruled with truth. And that played out in all sorts of different ways. Yes. Yeah, he ruled with purpose. He knew what his purpose was, and he ruled with that purpose in mind, even if people did or didn't like him. Yes. And that feeds into that identity of worth and value, that he's living for the purpose, not for what people do or don't like about him. Yes, great. Yeah. He ruled with righteousness. Absolutely. Yeah. Peter, I saw your hand raised. Yes. Yes, in the back. Empathy. Yeah. Ruled with sitting and kind of this mercy and being with people and caring deeply for people. Yes. Amanda Lara. Grace, patience, and selflessness. Yeah. So we were created to rule. And so how do we do that? We rule like Jesus did. Number two, we were created to care. Our role in God's intelligent design is to care. We see this in the Genesis 1 passage, but more specifically, we see it in Genesis 2, verse 15. So flip the page, go to Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to find verse 15, underline it, highlight it, interact with it. And here's what Genesis 2, 15 says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So we have this idea that we're put here to rule over all sorts of things. And we do that with love, empathy, patience. We do it like Jesus did. And then we also see that we're put here to care. We're called to care for creation, to look after it, to provide for its needs, to steward it well. So I want you to think about this for a second. What are two practical ways you can currently care
for creation. If we're called to care, part of what I want to do this morning is I want us to get practical. I want us to look at where we are now. I don't want us to just look at how they did it back then, but we're created in his image and his likeness. So it's fair to say that these apply to us. That when he tells Adam and Eve to rule, when he says we built mankind, we crafted mankind to rule, he's speaking to us too. And so he's saying rule, and now I want you to care for it. So what does that look like for you? In the world that you live in, think about the world that you live in. And I'm not talking about like the world. I'm talking about your world. The world that you specifically live in. Your home, your friends, your school, your environment, your finance, whatever that looks like. Okay? What does it look like for you to care for creation? What are two practical ways you can currently care for creation? Now, I want you to hit on this word, though, okay? We're going to talk about ruling, talks about other things in our life, and we're going to talk about some of that other stuff. But right now, we're focusing on this. It seems that one of the main things is to care for creation. He makes that very specific. So what does that look like? Does that mean that we all need to be environmentalists? Does it mean that we shouldn't be environmentalists? Does it mean that we all need to recycle? Does it mean that we should never recycle? What does that look like? So I want you in those same groups, I want you to look, and I want you to put two of these down on your bulletin this morning of what are two practical ways you can currently care for creation. Ready? Go. And they don't have to be the same as your neighbor. How can you, God's creation, practically care for his creation? Now, these ones are maybe a little bit more subjective, so we may need to talk through these a little bit more. But how do you think you can practically care for his creation? If he put humans in the spot to care for what he created. So this beautiful painting gets painted. And now our artist comes to me and says, hey, Chad, I spent a ton of time on this. I spent money on it. I spent thought. I put materials into this. And then the artist goes away at the end of the series and says, this is yours, Chad. This art piece is yours, but please care for it. What does that look like for me to care for this? Does it mean putting it in a frame? Does it mean storing it in the closet? Does it mean just putting it outside for people to look at it and it to get rained on? Then when the artist is done and says, hey, this is yours. This is yours. I want you to care for it. What does it look like for us as high schoolers, as 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds? What does it look like to care for God's creation? My assumption is most of us just naturally, because of the world we live in, not all of us, but I would bet most of us haven't really thought super practical about this yet. It wasn't until I moved away from home and went to University of Oregon where they talked a lot about creation. They talked a lot about trees and plants and just kind of how we care for it. It really wasn't until I was in college that I really thought about this. And so I'm curious if this is something that we think about. I would assume as high school students, we don't as often. So I want to hear some of your answers. What are two practical ways that you can be or currently are caring for what the artist made? What do you think? I want to hear from a couple of you. A couple groups. Yes.
Reducing waste, like so reusing.
Okay. So reducing waste rather than throwing stuff away. So just to kind of poke at it a little bit more, how is that caring for God's creation?
Well, there's like, if we're using like plastic items and stuff, those don't decompose fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's obvious that waste, that trash, that products that don't decompose well or this or that are not good for the environment, right? We get stuff in the water that then makes us sick because we polluted the water with waste that shouldn't be there. We, whatever that looks like. Yeah, great. What's another one? Yeah.
It feels like loving others and treating others before yourself.
Okay.
Like, even with animals, like taking care of them.
So you've got life that God created. Animals, people, that we're called to then treat those with love. So that could play out in a variety of different ways, I'm sure, right? Maybe that inspires somebody to become a vegetarian. Maybe that inspires somebody to have a hospital for animals that have been abused or wounded. Maybe that plays out in a ton of different ways. Yeah, love for the creation, for these that life that he created, totally. What else? What else is a practical way that you can care for the creation that he left to us? I want two more. Yeah. Okay. Mission trips. Expand on that a little bit.
Well, when you go out and serve other people, you're caring for God's creation, especially those who are in, like, unfortunate circumstances, and you're showing up to God's love.
Yeah. Yeah, you're caring for other people. You're caring for his creation so that they would feel God's love, and then they can go out and continue to care for creation that way. Yeah. Yes. Interesting. This is where I went when I was studying this week, is our bodies, right? He created us. We're temples. He created these incredible bodies. It kind of goes to what Peter, your group said about not putting waste, you know, out there in the environment. We do the same with ourselves, right? We put drugs inside of us, or we overdrink, or we eat unhealthy things or whatever, and our bodies start to actually maybe not get as healthy or decompose in certain ways or get sick because we're not caring for our body as a part of creation. Yeah. Awesome. I love it. Okay. The third thing, as you follow along with us this morning, is our role in God's intelligent design is to create. The third thing that we're talking about is our role in the design is that we would create. And what I want us to do here is I really want us to just look at all of Genesis 1. He freaking created us as a masterpiece. He stood and spent days and days and days standing back and thinking, okay, man, how do I make this perfect? Oh, I got to reposition the sun here because it's not the right distance right now. Or, oh, I got to, man, I need to put some more stars there because it doesn't look pretty enough. Oh my gosh, I want a giraffe. I want an animal with a really long neck. And oh, what about an elephant that's stubbier but got these big ears? And oh my gosh, people that fall in love and create, and plants that have seed. Ah, oh, and you just see him like standing back and he creates. He's an artist. And God creates beautiful, excellent things. God is not a lazy artist that is like, I'm tired. Yeah, you know, that's good enough. No, the artist keeps coming back and keeps saying, man, how do I dial this in a little bit more? God creates. And part of what he did in making us in his image and in his likeness is he created us to create. So what does it look like for us to create? Maybe some of us are gifted artists and we create art. Maybe some of us are gifted leaders and we kind of create leadership in people. Maybe some of us are gifted business owners and we create businesses that do incredible things for our world. But all of us in this room are built, are designed to create. To create an incredible family atmosphere, to create friendships that are loving, to create inventions that will live on in the new earth and the new heaven, to create boats, to create life. Practically, is that crazy? Think about it for a second. We have the ability to create life. like my wife and I created this little girl who's now 4 years old, who's way too sassy, who yesterday I got a call from her grandma, and her grandma was like, Chad, I'm so sorry. I love your daughter. She's my granddaughter. She's the best, but I really need to help you see something. It's like, oh my gosh, what did she do? Totally. Yes. I want to be that parent that's like, yes, what'd she do? She goes, well, yesterday we're getting ready for bed because Lucy stays at her grandma's house on Wednesday night when Erica and I are here with you guys. So she was at her grandma's house and she goes, well, I went upstairs and I told her to put away all of her baby dolls. And she looked at me and said, no. And Mimi goes, you don't say no, Lucy. You need to put away your baby dolls. No, you're not my boss. And Mimi's like, no, I am your boss. You're like, I'm your boss. No, my mommy's my boss. Well, but mommy's not here and I'm your boss. No, I call mommy. No, I don't want to. So grandma calls me and is like, hey, like, I know she's little. Like, I don't, like, I get it, but maybe there's something we can work on with her. And I'm like, yes. And I hang up the phone, Lucy, right? But we were built to create, even if we create little people who say no a lot, that God designed us to create. Not only do we get to play a part in creating life, but we get to create beauty. We get to create friendships. We get to create environments. Some of you will create inventions that way outlive you. Think of some of the greatest inventors of all time who created these incredible things. This is where I get excited. This is where, as a high schooler, I would sit here and be empowered of like, yes, I get to create. I don't have to just sit back and just be a part of it. I can actually interact with it and create as well. This is what God meant when he said we were created in his likeness. God was a creator. We see that all over Genesis 1. We get to create too. Okay, third exercise this morning. Turn to your neighbor again. What are the two most amazing creations of all time? You don't have to take your neighbors. You tell your two. Your neighbor tells their two. Write them down. What are the two most amazing creations of all time? And you can get specific, too. If there's something in nature you like that you're like, oh, I hiked the Himalayas and they were the coolest thing ever. If you're a surfer, whatever that is, feel free to get specific. What are two of the most amazing creations of all time? This is clearly subjective. Feel free. Give your opinion. All right, you got your two down. They don't have to be the same as your neighbors. All right, I want to hear two. Yes.
I went to New Zealand,
so, like, everything there is amazing. Yeah. You get to actually sit in some of the landscape and totally. I saw a hand over here, yeah. Levi. Yeah, great. Friendship, people. I mean, it's crazy when you look at humanity. Yeah, Jake.
The printing press.
Pretty crazy. Yes, and a crazy, I think of electricity was created by, well, but like you think of like how electricity travels and how we use it to like light the, like that electricity like weirds me out. The phone weirds me out that I could FaceTime someone right now. Where's Bronwyn? That when you were in South Africa this summer, we like FaceTimed. While you're in South Africa, I'm here. Was it not South Africa? England, totally, way cooler. And we're like looking at each other on the phone. Like, how does that work? Like, her face traveled through to, it's weird, right? So weird. All right, number four. God created us to glorify him as his image bearers. This is where I want us to land as we close out this morning. Our role in God's intelligent design is to glorify him as his image bearers. I'm going to take us out of Genesis, and I want you to go to Psalms chapter 115, middle of your Bible. Psalms are an incredible place for you guys to learn how to pray and communicate with God. I would love if the Psalms is a great place for you guys to read. If you don't know where to read in your Bible each day, pick the Psalms. Psalms are incredible. Okay, I want us to go to Psalms 115, verse 1. Psalm 115, verse 1. Highlight this, underline this, memorize this if you want.
says this: "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness." We see this all throughout Scripture, and I wanted to pick a psalm that kind of laid it out to us. But one of our roles is to bring his name glory. That when we look at Genesis chapter 1, we're created as image, which means we are image bearers. Which means as people, we get to portray to others the image of Christ. Or we get to diminish the image of Christ. That you want to know one of the ways we see Jesus and we learn who Jesus is by watching others. I look at my grandpa and some of the character traits that he has, and I see parts of Jesus in him. My grandma and grandpa loved people so well. When my grandma passed away, the whole family sitting in the living room, she had been gone for about 4 hours. There's a knock at the door. I open up the door. It's their two cleaning ladies bawling their eyes out. They just heard that my grandma had passed, and they just had to come over and were just so sad. It's my grandparents' cleaning ladies that they loved and poured into. That's them being image bearers. I think of some good friends of mine who are so generous with their time. I see parts of Jesus in that generosity. That as believers, we get to actually show people a little bit of what Jesus and God look like. That we bear the image, that we were created in his image. So last one this morning. I want you to think about this morning. What portion of God's creation has been entrusted to you? And what would it look like to glorify God with your portion? Let me give you an example of this for a second, okay? I was trying to think about this as me being a high schooler. This would be what I would say when I was a high schooler. I would say my body, that when I think of what portion of God's creation has been entrusted to me, my body. He created my body, and my body has been entrusted to me to rule over, to care for. So how do I do that? Well, in high school, I set boundaries to keep my body pure. It's kind of what you said, Natalie. I set boundaries not to drink in high school because we know that excessive drinking is really bad for our liver. It's bad for our mind. It hinders our judgment, right? That, you know, acts of sexual indecency can be really bad for our bodies in lots of ways. So I want you to think about this for you in your context. What portion of God's creation has been entrusted to you? And what would it look like to glorify God with it? Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it's a gifting. Maybe it's a relationship. So think about that for a second. You're going to do this one on your own. And then in your bulletin, there's space for you to kind of fill it out like I did. So put whatever that is, and then what would it look like to glorify God with that? Think about this honestly. All right, keep writing if you haven't finished yet. Keep thinking. If you don't think of one, go home and think about this today. I would love, if anyone feels safe enough, I'd love to maybe hear from one or two of you of what you put, if that's something that you'd be willing to do. I'd love to hear, like, what portion do you feel God entrusted to you, and how can you glorify him through that? Who'd be willing to share? Maybe let's take two this morning. You guys put, yeah.
I said my words, so to always glorify God through his
Yeah. Your words is something he's entrusted you, our tongue, what we say. Yeah, it's great. I love it. Who'd be one more? That's a good one, Maggie. Yeah, Amanda.
I said my mom, because she needs stability and calmness in her life, and she deserves unconditional love she gives to others.
Yeah. Yeah, in your world, you've got your mom. It's a portion that God has entrusted you in certain ways. She's part of your family. She's the one that brought you into this world in one respect. Yeah, and to figure out what does that look like? Totally, it's awesome. Whatever you guys wrote, I'd encourage you. As you leave here this morning, I want to leave you with a thought. And will you go to that slide that says thought of the week for me? So here's what I want you to think about. You can go to the next slide. I want you to think about this week. And this is going to be part of what you talk about on Wednesday night in small groups. If you don't come, I'd encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. Think about this week. God owns everything, and we are to wisely manage any resource that finds its way under our control. Use everything you have to point others to God and to advance his kingdom. This is stewardship. I want you to think about that this week. What does that look like? We're created in his image. So what does it look like to rule, to care, to glorify, to create? What does that look like? Will you guys pray with me this morning as we jump into worship together as a family? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. And God, this morning, wherever we are, God, I pray that you would just meet us where we're at. Lord, I pray that we would leave this morning empowered, that you gave us this incredible responsibility, this incredible role to be able to rule. How cool. To be able to care for. How awesome. To be able to create. How fun. And to be able to glorify you as image bearers. How crazy. God, I know that there are so many of us this morning that this may seem simple. This may seem hard. This may seem very repetitive from what we've heard over the years. But I think the truth, if it would penetrate our hearts, is so important. I love some of the things, discussions that went on this morning of how do we rule? Well, we rule like your son Jesus did. How do we care? We care by taking care of your creation in a multitude of ways. How do we create? We create by creating beauty like you did in and of who we are with our talents and our gifts. And then we get to glorify you. God, be with us as we worship you this morning through song. God, would this be a place where we don't just come and hear, God, but we would hear in order to go out and live. Be with us as we sing to you this morning. In your name, amen.